WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and New Yorkers don't agree on many things, but there might just be near universal animus toward Penn Station in its current form. But when it comes to what to do about it, there's, you guessed it, lots of disagreement. Still, the Municipal Arts Society, an urban planning nonprofit, has asked four architecture firms to propose new designs for the much-maligned transit hub. Joining me in the studio now to talk about this ambitious proposal, and yes, the obstacles in the way, is the president of the Municipal Arts Society, Vin Cipolla. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
And we'll take calls in a minute, but New Yorkers have been mourning the old Penn Station, if they were around long enough, for 60 years, or if they're students of architecture and good usable public space. And the new Penn Station has been awful for a long time. So why are you holding this design challenge right now?
Well, we're holding it because the special permit, which allows the garden to operate above Penn Station, has expired. And the operators have applied for an extension of that special permit to potentially keep the arena operating in perpetuity. And so we're advancing a position to really limit the special permit to a much shorter duration to allow Penn Station to be regenerated.
And listeners, do you have a vision or a suggestion for the future of Penn Station? If you're a regular commuter, have you ever thought about what could help as you trudge your way to an NJ Transit train or an LIRR train or to Amtrak? Are there any simple fixes that would make it a better place, or is starting from scratch essential toward a better Penn Station? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Vin, as you know, Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer and the community board that serves that area have recommended that Madison Square Garden's permit get renewed for only 10 years instead of the in perpetuity that the garden is asking for. Is that the right number, and what are you hoping will happen if it's limited to 10 years?
Well, we and our partners, the Regional Plan Association, RPA, have both been out there talking about the 10-year renewal of the special permit to really create a planning period, because the time is now. There are a number of conditions that are converging together which really make it make sense. And the borough president showed great leadership in really calling for an ambitious master plan for Penn Station and for new Madison Square Garden. And the community board has well as followed suit. And the city planning commission looks like it's heading toward recommending a 15-year renewal of the special permit. And so we're encouraged by that direction.
And several op-eds and editorials published in recent weeks point out that limiting the Madison Square Garden permit singles out this one company's application, since other big event venues don't have limits on their use of their site. And they say the city's land use system should be uniform, and that your idea isn't. So do you acknowledge any problem with treating Madison Square Garden differently than other applications for permits?
Well, this is the fourth Madison Square Garden. There have been three other facilities prior to this one, and this is the only arena, as far as we know, that's sitting on top of a transit hub, in fact, the largest, busiest transit hub in North America. And so the arena, in a way, is a cork on top of Penn Station, and as long as it's there, it's pretty hard to get at Penn Station. And by the way, we, like everybody else, want an arena and believe there should be a great new Madison Square Garden. And so our intention is to really help create momentum and a vision to regenerate Penn Station and for a new Madison Square Garden.
Is this unique that a private entity, Madison Square Garden, owns, in effect, a public space, or at least the land on which Penn Station is constructed?
It is pretty unique. There are 1,100-plus columns which come down from the arena to support it on those tracks and platforms. So the substructure supporting Madison Square Garden is Penn Station itself. And as long as it's up there, it becomes pretty much an impossibility to really get at the kind of holistic improvements that are necessary for Penn Station.
And what makes you think that they would ever either move after just having undergone this $1 billion renovation or restructure in any way, in any kind of short time frame, that would allow for Penn Station to be really different?
Well, there's a big economic development opportunity here, and I think we're at the early stages of this conversation, and it will continue to evolve. I mean, that area is depressed by Penn Station, the Penn District. There's a lot of opportunity for increased density in the area, certainly improved public realm. The necessity of a new Penn Station. Remember, it's a station that was built for 200,000 people a day, serving near 650,000 people a day and growing. But in economic terms, there's the beginning to be a conversation about what the full-on potential is of looking at regenerating Penn Station, moving the garden, knitting that district together with what's happening further west in Hudson Yards and some of the surrounding areas, a holistic view of both the terminal and the station, and New York's growing transportation needs. Again, the borough president did a very nice job of outlining some of the underlying economic opportunities and implications for this type of movement.
Ideas for a better Penn Station, 212-433-WNYC. Wendy in Summit, you're on the air. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I was actually pretty excited to hear the discussion on the radio because I didn't know this was going on. And I just wanted to say I do commute in from Summit through Penn Station. And I just wanted to say I would be so happy if they took the arena off the top, because I think what the station needs is space, upward space, and light to make everyone who goes through it feel human. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd say renew the lease for a really, really, really short time.
Wendy, thank you. And, you know, her request, which probably I can just see the heads nodding in agreement up and down there, doesn't that make it, you know, an even more irreconcilable situation with Penn Station right on top of the garden? You can't have higher ceilings. You can't have a lot of light if the garden is there at all.
Well, that's true. And thinking about the station really for the late 21st century and the growing needs of New York, look, the present situation is going to create a liability for the continued economic development of the city. I mean, this is, as we've been saying, the most important transit hub in North America. More people use Penn Station than any other station in the Western Hemisphere.
Huh.
And so to really think about it in ambitious terms, what it can really be, create the kind of experience that Wendy should have coming in from Summit, New Jersey, into Manhattan. And this is possible. We in New York have undertaken, as we all know, extraordinarily ambitious projects throughout our history, making the possible out of what has seemed to be the impossible. And it seems to us at the Municipal Arts Society and RPA that this is one that's doable and that's within the grasp of New Yorkers.
I'm glad to see that Elizabeth in Brooklyn has an institutional memory that goes back more than 10 minutes. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask what happened to that idea of turning the old post office across, I think it's 8th Avenue, into a train station. I use Amtrak a lot, and I was really looking forward to that.
And, you know, thank you, Elizabeth. We talked on this show in glowing optimistic terms. Oh, boy, that wretched old Penn Station is going to be expanded under the Farley Post Office and named after the late, great Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who fought for that before he died. What happened to that plan?
Well, Moynihan Station is very, very important. That is online still as a hub for Amtrak. And the first phase of the some of the retrofit and interior infrastructure work that needs to be done at Farley to accommodate Amtrak is underway. And Amtrak has about 30,000 passengers a day, and those 30,000 passengers a day could be better served on that side, the west side of 8th Avenue in the Farley Post Office or Moynihan Station. But that's 30,000, and that leaves another 620,000 still across the street at Penn Station. So it's really all of it. It's both sides of 8th Avenue that have to be addressed.
So what you're saying really is that Amtrak only accounts for about 5% of the people who use Penn Station.
That's correct.
So it's really a local regional commuter hub. I mean, not that I didn't know that, but Long Island Railroad, NJ Transit, and Amtrak is only 5%.
Amtrak is about 30,000. That's correct.
Eliana, did I say your name right? In Blairstown, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. So I guess my idea was when you get into the station, I take NJ Transit, and I just feel like I'm like a cow pushed into a corral, how it's circular, and I just keep going straight until I see something that I recognize. Mm. And I don't know, I guess it's kind of confusing. Like, I'm not sure how they could do it. I'm not an architect, but maybe if there's like a better design other than just like walking in a circle.
Thank you very much. So these four firms, and I won't mention all the names, but they have until May 29th, which is just a couple of weeks, to propose new designs. You have guidelines that you've given them?
We have. We've given them a scope. And it's really a provocation. I mean, it's not within a short period of time. Obviously, these firms, as talented as they are not going to be able to produce very detailed new Penn Stations and new Madison Square Gardens. But it is a provocation. It's to get our imaginations moving, to look at the possibilities, to consider the engineering impacts. And it's the beginning of a conversation. From the 29th, we will continue to invite people to participate and try to expand the thinking of what a new Penn Station can be and a new arena can be.
So how can the public participate? Because obviously, and we just had a small sampling on the air of the many people who are calling in with design suggestions. You have a design exhibit that the public can see of, you know, when these four firms submit their proposals?
Well, the very best way to get information is to go to either the MAS website or the RPA Regional Plan Association website. At MAS, it's mas.org/design challenge to look at the unfolding work that's being done on the design side of Penn Station and the arena, and there'll be many events to come over the next few months.
And then what? Write your state legislator before?
City Council. It's the City
Council
that votes on the special permit for operating the arena sometime in June.
So that vote is coming up.
That's
that coming
vote is
right
coming up.
Is Christine Quinn taking a position?
She very much needs to, and we're hoping she will take a position for New Yorkers in a new Penn Station and a new arena.
Vince Cipolla, president of the Municipal Arts Society, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you can find the link, folks, to all their stuff on our site at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, because that's what we do.